Stow the soft drinks, hide your hot dogs. Crossroads fans, welcome to the 16th annual Super Bowl of Preaching.
Come on. Let's hear it, everybody. Who's a Patriot fan? Shame on you. Just kidding. Who is an Eagles fan?
There they are.
Yeah, clearly the preference. Whichever fan you are, we're excited that you're here today. We're going to have an absolute blast. My name's Mark Stetcher, community pastor down in Lexington, alongside the East Side new building campus community pastor Greg McElfrisch.
Good to be with you guys. Mark, I'm telling you, we are ready for a big, big battle today. We've got some fierce competition. These guys are going to go head to head.
You know, if you are here for the first time, we just want to do a little apology in case you don't know what's going to happen. It could be a little bit wacky. Hang with us. It's going to be a blast. We'll tell you how it works, go through some rules, but sit back and enjoy this one.
That's right. The thing you should know is that the thing that you are about to see right now should have gotten this place shut down years ago. And for the next hour, we just want to say on behalf of us, we are incredibly sorry.
Yes, it is true. So right now, because we're anticipating a major, major attendance, we want to take everybody who's sitting on the aisles, get up, scrunch toward the middle, and be a great neighbor.
That's right. Wherever you are, whatever site you're watching from, we need you to get rid of the buffer seat.
I'm not seeing anybody
get up. We're talking to you, jerk face.
I am not seeing anybody. Jerk face, you. We are talking to you.
Get up.
Get up and move over.
And move.
Get up. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Well, Mark, I got to tell you, there is an interesting plot twist this year. For the first time ever in Super Bowl of Preaching history, Brian Tome and Chuck Mingo will each be playing with a teammate.
Huge addition. I love this idea. Supplement the teams by getting some other kind of speakers involved. And both Mingo and Tome have great additions. First on Tome's team, he needs a little youth, needs a little good looks. So we're adding Paco Pancham, student ministry leader. Great experience from stage, excellent communicator. He's going to be a dynamo on Tome's team.
That's right. Paco, we know him from last year because we got the boot and he was commentating from a leather chair.
Yeah, that Barca lounger.
I thought
that
it was
moved.
Terrible.
He
to
was
be
awful.
Honest.
He was awful.
Paco, stick to the sidelines and leave the
Let
commentating
the commentary
to us.
Go to the commentator.
If that is even your real name, Paco.
So we'll see. Roasted Paco.
All right.
We
well,
love
hey,
him.
Mingling with Mingo, a crowd favorite, Allie Patterson, no stranger to this stage. Allie's on the team around here on our writing and content team. Allie also has got some big stuff coming out right now. Very first Crossroads podcast with Allie called IKR. Do you know what that stands for?
I know, right?
Impressive.
Very something.
Good job,
very
Mark.
Good,
in fact,
good.
It drops today, so if you want to check out IKR, I know, right, wherever you get your podcast from. And dudes, maybe you'll learn a little something about the ladies. You should check it out.
And this is an excellent compliment to the Mingo team because, you know, Chuck, always soft, always nice, smiling. Allie's got some teeth, and she is going to beef it up. Great, great speaker. She's been on stage before over the summer and a number of other times. Really going to bring the heat. We're excited. I also love that we're bringing in a strong female voice on Super Bowl Sunday. It's appropriate to get some women in here on stage.
Could well done. Not agree with you more, Mark. But hey, we got to get this thing started. And for that, we're going to go to former NFL player and Crossroads analyst Solomon Wilcott. Sully.
Thanks, guys. This year's Super Bowl of Preaching is sure to be one for the history books, marking year number 16 of the long-fabled preach-off. And as our players, Brian and Chuck, prepare for the big game, one huge question looms. Can Crossroads make the Super Bowl of Preaching great again? Seriously, you guys made me read that? All right. Now that that question has yet to be answered, one thing for certain is our rivalry between these two men is as heated as ever. First, to prepare for today's game, they went head to head in a battle of wits to see who could break who. Let's take a look.
How do you make holy water? You boil the hell out of it.
What's brown and sticky?
What?
A stick.
A truck of terrapins crashed into a truck of tortoises. It was a turtle disaster.
What do you call fake spaghetti?
I don't know.
An impasta.
What is Whitney Houston's favorite kind of coordination? And I.
What was the buffalo's last word to his son? Bye, son.
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
R.
You think so, but it's the C.
How did the hipster burn his tongue?
I don't know how.
He drank his coffee before it was cool.
There's just too many black stereotypes.
I just watched a TV show about beavers. It was the best damn TV show. Well done.
Oh, that was good. That's great.
See what I mean? The disdain they have for each other is palpable. One might even say a turtle disaster. Well, I sat down with Brian and Chuck and got a peek inside the mindset of our fierce competitors, just to see what they're made of. Chuck Mingo, Oakley campus pastor, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Solomon. How are you?
Now, I've always known that you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Yes, I am.
You're not just a Johnny-come-lately guy, even though you've got the jersey going. Mm-hmm. But you've always been in their corner. They're going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
How do you feel about that?
Born and raised in Philly. And I've been a part of the Super Bowl of preaching for, 14, 15 years? It's the first time I get to represent my birds. Fly, Eagles, fly. I could not be more excited.
All right, well, let's get to it. You're back in the Super Bowl of preaching, going up against your old opponent, Brian Tones.
Brian is a worthy competitor, and every time we get out there and get to mix it up, I grow, he grows, hopefully, and he loses, just like he will this year.
Clearly, you're quarterback in this thing, but tell me about your teammates.
Yeah, so let me tell you about Allie Patterson. So Allie is an amazing, compelling communicator of the good news of Jesus. If Allie is learning something about God in the Bible, I'm interested. I'm in. I want to hear what she has to say. Incredibly kind, great mom. She's a great friend. And honestly, I think she's the ringer in this year's Super Bowl of preaching.
What has been your biggest challenge in this past season?
I live in this dual world where I'm the teaching pastor, but I'm also leading the Oakley campus. A lot of times when I'm thinking about preparation, I'm thinking about what's right for Crossroads, absolutely. And then I'm also thinking, how can I lead my unique campus here in Oakley? And so this year, it's really been kind of shifting gears and maybe leaning in a little bit more to the Oakley leadership. So that's been one of the challenges, is kind of playing a player-coach role or a dual sport role.
Well, Chuck, you look nice and fit and ready. How have you been preparing for the big game?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I've been doing some hot yoga and some cold yoga. I've been doing the Whole30 diet. I've also tried the all-meat diet. I've done the carbs challenge. I've been lifting weights. I've been throwing weights. I've been chasing stray dogs around the neighborhood to work on my acceleration. I've been doing jumping jacks. I've done some punching jacks. I've eaten some apple jacks. You know, just
all
just
anything
normal,
jacks.
Just the normal, usual things.
So what do you really think of Brian?
You need to make me a sandwich, old man. You are going down.
Brian Tome, senior pastor. You have your Tom Brady jersey on. Tell me about your Patriots making it back to the Super Bowl.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't call them my Patriots. I wear it every year because Chuck Mingo wants the Eagles or somebody else. I'm not a Patriots fan at all. So I got to take one of them for the team and wear the jersey. 21 years, and I'm still in the big game.
So what is your secret to success?
Raw eggs, bushelfuls of fiber, sprinkling a little prayer, sprinkling a little Bible verses, and rock and roll.
Well, tell me about your teammate.
Well, his real name is Neville, but everyone knows him as Paco. And I'm ready to suit up and play with him this year. He is a very, very gifted individual. One of the marks of a book that's been defining for me this last year called Captain Class is passionate nonverbal displays. Paco's got passionate nonverbal displays because I'm never sure exactly what he's going to look like. The guy changes his hair and his beard more than anybody I know. So which Paco you see, I don't know, but get ready for it.
Well, what's been the biggest challenge this preaching season?
Every season, I do always wonder, can I do this again? Do I have enough creativity? Do I have enough spiritual depth? Do I have enough knowledge? Do I have enough whatever to give people something of value whenever I preach? My wife having a stroke. Thankful to modern medicine and the miraculous work of God through those folks and what only He does. And she got healed. But that was a huge, huge thing. And I think the last thing is Crossroads has grown a lot this last year, as it has pretty much every year for 21 years. And it continues to be incredibly challenging burden to have more things to manage, more things to pray for, more things to lift up to God. And I'm staying ahead of it, but this year has been a real challenge with that.
Well, what do you have to say about your opponent, Chuck?
I'm happy that he's wearing an Eagles jersey. Woo-hoo, Eagles. How many Super Bowls the Eagles won? Like ever?
Let me see.
None, zero, none. But he's all excited right now. Yay, Eagles, Eagles, I get to wear Eagles. So he's all excited now. And then his hopes are going to be dashed and crushed come Sunday evening. Just like they're going to be dashed and crushed after I put down a preaching smackdown on him in the Super Bowl of preaching.
All right, Paco, you got to give it to me. What is it like to have Brian as a team captain?
Brian's pretty cool. Wait, you play in the league, right? You play in the NFL?
Yeah.
National Football League.
I played for the Steelers.
You played for the Steelers?
Yeah,
what year?
In 92. But right now, Paco, we're just talking about you.
92. Wait, that means you played for Bill Cowher? Bill freaking Cowher? The strong-chinned Bill Cowher?
All right, guys.
What's he like?
We're lost in fandom right now. I don't know,
wait,
guys.
Do you know
Can I get some help here? Can
I
get some help?
I love Terry Bradshaw's show with the old guys. That's such a good show. You play Madden? Oh, I'm so good at Madden. Like, my team is the Steelers from 76 in Madden. Like, I'm amazing with them. We should play sometimes. Xbox Live. It'd be great.
Allie, what is it like having Chuck Mingo as a teammate?
Hey, Chuck is the nicest guy around. I mean, that's his reputation, right? If anything, I'm hoping to bring him a little edge, see what I can do to mix it up with him a little bit. But overall, he's an amazing leader, amazing guy to learn from. He actually reads the Bible. There's no one's team I'd rather be on.
What do you want the world to know about you?
I got a nickname. Some people call me Alley Cat. And that might sound sweet, but the truth under it is that I'm scrappy. You don't want to meet me in a dark alley. I recently learned that Brian has a nickname of his own. The Tome household calls him the Goldfish. Pfft, not real manly. Cats eat fish. Row!
Well, it all comes down to what happens on the preaching field. Guys, back to you.
Phenomenal, Solly. Appreciate it. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, in an attempt to keep these guys reined in, we do have a few rules for today's competition. Here in the studio with us is a former referee of the Super Bowl of Preaching, also Florence Community Campus pastor, Terry Phillips.
Well, hey, I want to give you a little reins on what to expect today in the rules that our referee is going to be trying to keep them in. First one is each team will get 2 7-minute quarters to preach their message. So our referee is going to be looking, are they staying in that time frame or not? Our second rule we're looking at is that each of our teams may use 3 different sources, one of them of which must be the Bible. Mm-hmm. Now let's look closely at translation. Is this message connecting? We're going to hope that they keep it in lines here. The third one, this one is typically the one that separates the winners from the losers. It's the random phrases. Yeah. At the beginning of every quarter, there'll be a completely random phrase that will be given to our contestants that they have to work into their message. These are completely random, and these tend to be the game changers. But I think the X factor this year will be our fourth rule, that the referee has complete jurisdiction over the game. That's because today, a move that no one expected. We're going with the budget referee, replacement referee this year, Matt Castleman, community pastor of the West Side. And I'll tell you, I'm just not getting this call. This guy's never even watched a football game, much less participated
it's
in
true.
Any sport.
It's true. You know, I don't know if you guys realize this. Matt was actually a musical theater major in college.
This one makes no sense.
And dance.
And dance. Who knows what's going to happen in this one?
Really,
and so scoring will work this way. A great message will give 7 points. Use of the random phrase is 3 points. And watch out for the 3-point penalties. They can be a killer.
That's right. Well, we appreciate it, Terry. That's a lot of rules. Could be tough to follow.
Especially for Tom. I'm telling you, he has trouble using the Bible, number one. Number two, following this many rules, it is going to stump him. We got to watch closely because he's going to need help from Pancham.
That's right. One last thing. Today there is a theme. All 4 quarters, each one of our teachers will be talking about a characteristic of someone who leaves their mark on the world. So with that, let's head down to the field and meet today's teams.
And now, your 2018 starting lineups. The visiting team, led by a 16-year Super Bowl of preaching veteran, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, alongside a pro wrestling loving pastor from Naples, Florida, a team with more finesse than they know what to do with. Clear eyes, furry boots, can't lose, give it up for Team Tom! This 11-year Super Bowl of preaching veteran hails from the city of brotherly love. With a teacher so fierce, Beyonce takes lessons from her. They will kill you with kindness and their bare hands. Let's hear it for Team Mingo!
A lot for the eyes.
Woo!
Oh no, it could be trouble. I think Tom's limbering up once again. Please look away.
A lot of showboating going on. Well, folks, we've heard the rules. We've met the players. We're going to send it down to our sideline reporter and Columbus community pastor, Jamie Sims. Jamie.
Thanks, Greg. So there certainly has been some speculation this year as to how things are going to play out, especially with up-and-comers Ali and Paco in the fold. And we've incorporated the concussion protocol where it's mandatory for a player to sit out and be examined. So you never know who's going to need to come in as backup.
Amazing. It is going to be trouble if they continue to talk about rules that just don't matter. Why are we talking about concussion protocol?
Look, I'm just calling it like I see it. You never know.
Jamie, right. I cannot imagine that concussion protocol will come about in a Super Bowl of preaching, but it's very cute and it's a good attempt. Thank you, Jamie. With that, we are going to head down to the field for today's supposed referee, Matt Castleman.
Gentlemen, let's bring it in for the coin toss.
Look at the socks.
Now, what a good, clean game. One of you gentlemen bring a coin with you?
Well, we forgot something.
I have a coin.
Ah, that'll do. Brian Tome, you will call it in the air since you are a senior citizen, pastor.
Whoa!
Tails! What I be kicking.
It is heads. Chuck Mingo, would you like to kick or receive the Bible?
We're going to defer to the second half.
Very good. If you were to explain that to somebody.
Oh,
yeah.
Mark.
This is
It's going to be a long
kindergarten one. Terms, how would you say that? For we're going to kick first. Ah, yes. Kick. We will kick the Bible.
Mingo kicks. Tome to receive.
It could be a rough
Here comes
afternoon.
The kick. The kick is good.
Whoa. Ooh. In the head. And he fumbled, but Whoa. He recovers. That looks Whoa. Fantastic. That is trouble right there. Tome is down and getting
Good
up
recovery.
Slowly.
Ugly,
and
but
rubbing
good.
The head.
Brian, you will maintain possession of the Bible for the first quarter. Please select your random phrase. Just one. Your random phrase is, I don't think Jesus would believe we actually landed on the moon either.
I don't think Jesus would believe we actually landed on the moon either.
That'll be tough to work in, but who knows?
You know, so as we talk about how to leave your mark, you need to know that there's three kinds of people in this world. Those who can count and those who can't.
Very well. A little fuzzy. Flag on the play immediately.
Well, that was rather confusing.
Look into my eyes here.
Uh-oh. No.
Oh, here comes the light.
How hard no. did that Bible hit your eyes?
Full protocol.
Jamie.
This man has been concussed several times.
Oh, my gosh.
We're enacting a concussion protocol. Please bring out a doctor. Sir, you'll
Jamie.
Sit this out.
Calling
you know,
about the
who
concussion
would have
protocol.
Ever imagined this?
I cannot believe this.
I hope this Paco kid can deliver.
He is going to be put
You'll
down
maintain
with,
possession of the Bible.
Stand right here.
Same Let's random see. Phrase.
He looks a little flabbergasted. Little encouragement from the crowd. There we go. There it is.
Well, wait, why does it feel like I just walked into, like, every sports movie ever? Like, the star player goes down, the no-namer comes in, the odds are stacked against him, the ref has no idea what's going on. Like, it's...
Sorry, going. I was breathing heavily into my whistle.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let me go ahead and pray for us, because I got a feeling we're going to need it today, okay? Let me pray. God, thank you for today. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to just disconnect from all the busyness of life and just stop for a second and have some fun and hear your heart for us and your desire for us, God. I pray that you would give us all ears to hear, God, and ears to listen to the words that you have to say. Be happy with what happens here. We know it's going to be a great thing. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The way you leave your mark is by showing up and doing the work. Now, I love weekends like this because I love football, but I also love the idea of leaving my mark. I serve as an assistant football coach at a local high school for exactly that reason. Football is an opportunity, is a tool for me to leave my mark on the lives of young men and make an impact in them. And one of the things that I've realized with being a coach is there are really awesome, epic, monumental moments, right? When guys overcome adversity, come from behind wins, and all that stuff are super cool. But then there are also moments where you're like, why did I sign up for this? For example, when one of your players decides to eat an entire bag of pork rinds before practice, gets sick during practice, takes her helmet off, throws up during practice, forgot to move the helmet out of the way, throws up the pork rinds inside of their helmet. Ugh. Those moments aren't so great. But the more I coach, the more I lead, the more I realize that leaving my mark is not just about wins and losses and stats. Leaving my mark is about showing up and putting in the work. And there's a story from the NFL this season that's really inspired me on this. It's the story of Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas went to the University of Wisconsin, was picked third overall on draft day as an offensive lineman. It's pretty impressive. He's been to the Pro Bowl 10 times in 10 years. He has the consecutive snaps played streak. He's played 10,000 snaps in a row plus. Pretty impressive. He's been shouted out on multiple news outlets for that accomplishment. But the most impressive part about his accomplishment is the fact that Joe Thomas did all of this while playing for Cleveland. Now, I could give you stats about QBRs and third down percentages. Let me just break it down and put it in layman's terms for everyone. The Browns suck.
Wow.
They got some work to do up there. They went 0-16 last season, 0-W. So they went ahead and took the W out of the logo even.
Railing.
Flag on the play.
Unpreacher-like conduct, kicking a team while they're down. A three-point penalty will be assessed at the end of this quarter.
Starting out minus three. That's rugged.
Wow. I mean, you can be a skeptic if you want. The truth is the truth, right? You know, a lot of people don't think certain things happen. And some people say, would even go as far as saying, I don't even think Jesus actually believed we actually landed on the moon either. So there's
relevant.
That.
He stumbled
skeptic,
a little.
Skeptic.
A little relevance issue, but.
This guy. It's funny because it's true. This guy, Joe Thomas, spent 10 years putting in work every single day for a team that was absolutely horrible. He has changed the way I think about leaving a mark and leaving an impact. And Sports Illustrated recently caught up with him and asked him, like, why did you do it? And here's what he said. He said, it's ingrained in you as a young athlete. Get up, play the next play. It's the job. You know, obviously the losing hurts. I'm human. But something I found comfort in is just do your job. I've got people in my family who get up and go to work every day and they don't complain. Joe Thomas is a for-sure Hall of Famer, and it has changed the way I look at leaving a mark. His career has definitely changed that. Because I want to leave a mark. I want to have epic goals and epic dreams and epic, you know, accomplishments and all of that stuff. We all want our life to matter, and if we want that, we've got to show up every day and put the work in right in front of us. And one of the big epic goals in my life is to be financially free. Like, I want to be able to have enough money to be able to bless people around me any way they need it. That's a big epic goal. And Joe Thomas is saying, hey, if you want to reach the big goal, you got to do the work right in front of you. So that's exactly what I did. I got up and got right to work. I went and got an epic side job. I'm unloading trucks at nighttime. Now, is this an easy gig? Does this feel like I'm actually, like, doing a big thing in the moment? No, absolutely not. But I'm laser-focused on putting in the work right in front of me. I've had to let go of some things. I've had to let go of some comfortable things. I've had to let go of some convenience things. I've had to let go of some comparison between me and other people. But I know it's absolutely worth it. I know my goal is good, and I know that it matters. But, you know, I'm not perfect. I get tired. I grow weary at times. There are times where I want to quit. I want to be like, nah, just forget about it. This will do. But when that happens, when that fear and that doubt creeps in, what I do is I remember this promise from God. See, in the Bible, in the book of Galatians chapter 6, the writer is speaking to a group of people who are asking the same question. Is all of this work really worth it? Are we really going to leave our mark? And here's what the writer says to him. Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You see, the promise from God here isn't that it's going to be easy. The promise from God here is that it's going to be worth it. And so when I get tired, I've got to lean on God's strength and not mine. When I want it right now, I've got to lean on God's timing and not mine. Because this purpose, this goal is from God, it's not mine. And I know the lives that I'm going to impact are going to be absolutely worth the work I'm putting in right now. And so I don't know where you are in life. I don't know where you are with God. I don't know where you are with any of this stuff, but I know you want to leave your mark in life. I know there's somewhere in life that you want to leave a mark and you want to have an impact. And I want you to know this. If you want to do that, if you want to leave your mark, show up every day. Put in the work. You might be in the very beginnings of a big dream. The humble beginnings. Show up every day. Put that work in. Watch God show up with you. You might be dealing with the brokenness over a dream. Pick those pieces up. Keep moving. God's with you. You might be in a spot where you're confused and it feels chaotic and you don't know what to do. I want you to know this. Whoever you are, wherever you are, show up, put in work. God is with you.
A little premature on that, sorry.
Oh, my.
Also funny because it's true. Sorry. Hey, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is for you, but I know for sure your mark is going to be worth it. I know for sure that God has put something inside of you to change the world, and it's going to be worth it. You got a marriage, keep fighting for it. Show up every day. You're single? If you're single, show up every day. Keep fighting that loneliness, that need to settle. Fellas, you might get a date right here. She's excited to be. Hey, if you're
in the twilight of your life, you're a little bit old, you're thinking, my best days are behind me. They're absolutely not. God has something for you to leave a mark in right now. Show up every day. Put the work in. You might be young, and you might be thinking, my time is not even now. No, your time's right now. Show up every day. Put that work in. God is with you. Will it be easy? Absolutely not. Will it be worth it? Absolutely. You want to leave your mark? Show up. Put in work.
Wow. There it is. My goodness.
Finishing very strong.
Touchdown, Team Tone.
Bring the points.
Wow, the kid showed up.
You will be awarded 7 points for a great message in addition to 3 points for a great use of a random phrase. However, there was a 3-point penalty resulting in an end of first quarter score. Team Tome, 7. Team Mingo, 0. That's the end of the first quarter.
End of the first quarter. Mark, I don't know if you saw it. Paco not only had the crowd clapping, he had Mingo clapping. He really is the nicest guy in the world clapping for his opponent. Your observations.
He used the Bible, he got the second job, he's walking the talk, and he's starting a new business, Match.com, with some gal in the first throw.
It's unbelievable.
Very amazing.
It's unbelievable. Folks, we know you don't come for the game, though. We'll be back right after this first commercial break.
And I'm Bobby Royal.
Here's the deal. Kids love animals, right? So we took the next logical step. Royal Family Daycare and Taxidermy.
Got a little bundle of joy? Who needs a little extra special care? Come on down.
We also have daycare.
What did you do today, honey?
I made a stuffed animal. It's dead.
We're fully accredited, more or less.
Call the next hour for a great deal on preschool or deer heads.
Royal Family Daycare and Taxidermy.
Come on down.
Royal Family Business.
We get it. Life is hard on your own. Camping for a weekend could feel even harder. But that step, that one bold step into new territory, just might be worth it. Put up a tent for the first time with help from friends. Laugh, cry if you want. Challenge yourself, or just take some time to rest. It's your choice. At camp, you don't have to go it alone. People have your back. At camp, you can give it all you've got and come back home, renewed. You may think camp's not for you, but that peace, that gut-busting joy that comes from trying out this crazy camp experience, that is for everyone. We have a camp for you. Give it a try.
That takes, I'm done giving in. You tried to weigh me down with your coercion, to steal my time, my money, my worth. You might have thought you were the aggressive one, but make no mistake, I'm in this to win. I will do what it takes, go where he sends, to take back what was never yours to begin with. You wanted me obsessed with you? To hell with that. My obsession will change you.
We're back. Mark, you know, when it comes to underwear, you've been known to leave your mark.
They call me Skidmark.
Tell us about camps.
My response is really all about that camp ad. Man, it is strong. Over 14,000 6,000 people have gone just a short ways away to a great camp experience. Whenever we break the routine of our lives and we give enough attention to paying attention to our lives, man, great things start happening. I want everybody to get online, crossroads.net/camp, and sign up. It is just terrific.
That's right. Well, hey, Mingo with the Bible in the second quarter. Let's head back down to the field.
Chuck Mingo, you maintain possession of the Bible for the second
quarter.
Let
me hear you make some noise.
Come on.
Yes.
Let's make sure we do all the sports and we touch all the goals and do all the downs this time. All right?
You got it.
Sports.
You got it.
All right. Random phrase is, that's why we need to see Dora the Explorer's birth certificate.
She doesn't age.
Explorer's birth certificate.
Dora doesn't age.
All right.
All right, first of all, I want to know who is with me in hoping the Eagles take it to the Patriots this weekend.
Going with the hometown layup.
Yes. Hey, I got good news for you Eagles fans. The most famous Cincinnatian is on our side. That's right. Fiona the hippopotamus has picked the Eagles to beat the Patriots.
The hungry
Yes, she
hippo.
Has. I think Fiona has more Instagram followers than the Kardashians. She really is the most famous Cincinnatian. So I don't know how much confidence we can put in that, but I tell you what, I've got a lot of confidence that if you join us for the Obsessed Journey, that 5-week journey might change your life. It might change the trajectory of your life. It might set a legacy for you. We do this every year as a team. We focus on a topic for 5 weeks and just say, hey, what do you want to say to us about this, God? How do you want us to leave our mark? And I'm encouraging you to do it, to be a part of the journey with us, because the way you leave your mark is to have convictions. See, your life and mine will be defined either by your convictions or by your compromises. And people who leave a mark are people who live a life of conviction. That's true of many of my heroes. If I think about Nelson Mandela, Nelson Mandela had a conviction that a united South Africa was worth fighting for. And he did that through forgiving those who oppressed him. Abraham Lincoln had a vision that preserving the Union was worth fighting for. And I'm telling you, when you have a hero like that, that lives through convictions, that hero leaves a mark. It's also why you get concerned when you see like some of your heroes' convictions slipping. So I gotta tell you, you know, we have this competition thing, me and Brian, but Brian is actually a personal hero of mine. And that's why I got a little bit concerned that maybe some of his convictions were slipping when he showed up to a staff meeting wearing this.
Oh.
Now I gotta tell you, no man over 50 should be wearing furry boots tucked in like that.
Wow.
I just don't think that's appropriate.
Awkward.
And I have a little bit of concern about where his convictions might be.
Oh, my.
Draws the flag.
Challenge
flag.
The play.
What's that mean?
That's a challenge flag.
Okay.
I'm going to challenge a point that Chuck's made.
Very good.
Those boots, yes, I agree, are horrendous. But they're not the worst part of that outfit. The worst part of that outfit were the yoga pants he was wearing with the boots.
Oh.
Good challenge. I like that. Thank you.
Yes.
Do we do something else here?
Yeah, okay. Yes, you're going to get the device, you're going to review the play, and you're either going to confirm...
I'm going to get the device. Go ahead.
I'm going to review the play and overturn it.
Overturn it. That's what I'm going to do right now.
Get the flag.
I'll get the flag first.
Now, Terry, stay close. What is going on here?
Referee is supposed to be leading the charge here, but right now what he's doing, he's getting his little Microsoft device.
The headphones are not even plugged in.
People always think that they're going to actually replay video. He's checking his Facebook status right now. It's actually what's going on. And let me tell you, there is no way this call is getting overturned. I've seen this 100 times. I'd bet the Florence Farm on it.
All right.
Wow.
Castleman out with the review.
After further review, I need to ask someone for help. Former ref and analyst, Terry, I would love to know how you would call
this
play.
This is not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
This is a clear one. You're supposed to accept the challenge. It's supposed to go through. No overturn on this one.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go ahead and overturn this play.
Oh, my.
Terry, we miss
no point to be awarded here.
We miss you so badly.
So really, though, there is a person whose convictions have shaped my life significantly, and it's actually my brother. I've got a brother, his name is Skip. He's actually 21 years older than me. And so I just got to see him live a life of convictions. His convictions were challenged the first time when he was 17 years old. He left the house. He was in a single-family household at that time. And he left the house and showed up at the Air Force as a 17-year-old kid who was alone,
who was confused and who wasn't sure he had what it took. And I'm telling you that my brother had some convictions that shaped his life from that point. The one conviction he had at that moment in his life was that there is a God, and he was God's child. And he leaned in, and I've gotten to see the results of a man who has lived a life shaped by his convictions. Another one of his convictions is that not much matters more than those we love and the family that we belong to. And that's why when I was 13, he started investing in me. He started mentoring me, and he helped me to shape and form a life of conviction. And here's the thing. My brother taught me that convictions have to hold up under pressure. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Convictions have to hold up under pressure. That's why we need to see Dora the Explorer's birth certificate, because I just want to make sure that she's convicted about the things that she cares about. I just want to know for sure that she's ready to explore.
I'll take it.
Backpack. Is she ready to explore? I just need to know that. So
he's acting confidently. But
when you have young kids, you can crush any reference to Nick Jr., Disney Jr., so bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
Now, folks.
Bring it on.
He's working the crowd.
Man. Back to my brother. Convictions have to hold up under pressure. It reminds me of what the philosopher Mike Tyson said. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. All of us have convictions until they get tested. And here's the thing. If your convictions don't hold under pressure, you don't have a conviction. You have an opinion. But God wants us to be people with convictions that hold up under the pressure. Convictions that hold up under the pressure to walk away from a friendship when it gets tough. Convictions that hold up under the pressure of going with the crowd instead of standing for what we know is right. Convictions that hold up under the pressure to sell out your integrity even when the price is right. And I think that's my brother's greatest moment, and how he's had the greatest impact on my convictions. My brother started a business from the ground up. What he didn't know when he started that business, though, is that he inherited a $500,000 accounting problem that was not his. And that accounting problem caught up, and it ultimately wound up with my brother losing that business and actually losing $800,000 in the process. And I'm telling you, I remember the low point in his life when he had to lean on his conviction that he was a child of God. He had to lean on the conviction that the same God that helped him build that business could literally help him rebuild his life, which is what he needed to do. And I got to watch my brother walk through that. And I'm going to tell you what helped him have a life in that moment that held up under pressure. It was that simply he looked to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 encourages all of us who want to live a life of convictions by saying, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. See, my brother's convictions were based on someone higher than himself. They were based on the life of Jesus. They were based on who Jesus was to him and for him. And friends, Jesus lived a life of conviction. The reason that Jesus' life is relevant all these years later is because he lived with conviction. Jesus had a conviction that you were worth him dying for. Jesus had a conviction that loving your enemies and being kind to those who abuse you was a better way to live than seeking revenge. And Jesus lived that conviction all the way up to a cross so that you and I would know what love looked like with skin on. Jesus lived a life of conviction. And he wants to help you live a life of conviction as well.
Look at that.
So I wonder, where in your life do you feel the pressure to compromise? Where in your life do you feel the pressure to conform? Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's in pursuit of a goal. Maybe it's in a friendship right now. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in your own integrity. I want to encourage you to let your convictions shine through by fixing your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus and follow through on every commitment you've made. Fix your eyes on Jesus and fight for what you know is right. Fix your eyes on Jesus and do what the Bible says and stand firm and do not be moved when you know what you're doing is what God has called you to. Who wants to live a life of conviction today? Who wants to be a person that lives a life of conviction in
this
moment?
He's going.
And let me tell you, you might be like me. You might have already lost out on some convictions. There might be some things you regret. It is never too late to be the man or the woman that God created you to be. I got a picture from my brother this week that reminded me of the journey that he's been on. And this is the picture of a challenge coin. This was given to him by an Air Force commander, because that 17-year-old kid who was confused and didn't know who he was, that man who had to walk through the loss of a business, is now a man that is leading and mentoring leaders at the highest levels of the military. You know why? Because his life was shaped by convictions, and your life can be defined by convictions as well. Stand firm. Leave your mark. Live a life of conviction.
Wow, wonderful job.
There's the whistle and the end of the first
half. Touchdown, Mingo.
Yeah.
Team Mingo, you were awarded 7 points for a great message, in addition to 3 points for the use of random phrase, resulting in an end of first half score. Team Mingo 10, Team Tome 7. That's the end of the first half.
10-7, Mingo. Tremendous. Impressive performance by Mingo. We saw him there get on a little rant. He ended his quarter the same way he ends every message, preaching to the amen quarter. I thought he was actually going to sing at one point.
He loves singing, you know that. But he hit the Bible, hit the authenticity, had the brother story, moved our hearts. Really, really strong quarter by Chuck.
That's right. Well, I know what we're all thinking. We're wondering what's going on with Tome. Let's send it over to our sideline reporter, Jamie Sims. Jamie, what can you tell us?
Guys, I'm down here with Brian's doctor. Doc, can you give us an update?
Yeah, so when Brian first came in, he was speaking nonsense. I was really worried. He had this crazy look in his eyes. He was drooling from his mouth. Did some tests on him. I just kind of figured out he just kind of looks that way.
It's standard.
Well, there you guys have it. That's great news. Brian will be joining us in the second half.
That is
back to you guys.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he there's a lot of people on one knee. I saw a lot of people praying for him.
That's sandbag and SOB. It's unbelievable. Hey, here's what I know is the end of the first half was here, and we've got a halftime show coming up. But first, this commercial break.
One of my favorite parts of working here at Airbnb is we're always asking ourselves, what do our users need? After my first couple weeks working here, I got a little bit too comfortable. I thought it would be okay to poop in the office bathroom. I picked out my stall, locked the door, got my setup going, and somebody walked in. I froze. Door handle jiggled, an eye peeked through the crack. I was totally exposed. My sense of self just crumbled. But it got me thinking. Everywhere I go, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of nice private bathrooms in cozy homes. What if we could activate that untapped resource for people like me who would rather die than poop in a public bathroom?
Drop and deuce. Air D&D. We got it.
Yes!
We're calling it Air D&D, and we're rolling it out now.
It's amazing, really. Wherever you go, you can avoid public bathroom nightmares. Book a private bathroom in someone else's house without eye contact or human interaction. No one else has to know your shit, except us.
We're integrating with partner services to give you an even smoother experience. If you're out on a run with your Fitbit Deuce and things get desperate, Air D&D will automatically locate and book the nearest available toilet, then reroute your run. Amazon Key will give you access. Then you can do your unspeakable act and avoid that gas station. When you're riding with Uber, just tap the Air D&D button and a stop is added to your route. That's the beauty of the share economy.
So what, I got an attitude. I got an attitude. So what, I got an attitude. I'm gonna have an attitude. So what, I got an attitude. What?
Bobby and Donnie Royal here.
You know, I'm a busy man. How am I supposed to find time to get my car washed and get a massage?
We should fix that.
We already did.
Come on down to the Royal Family Car Wash
and drive-thru massage. Reflexology.
Undercarriage scrub.
Deep tissue.
Executive details.
Sports rub.
Premium wax.
Hot stones.
Scrub a dub 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 dub. I'll take the supreme wash and a wheel wax and a Swedish back rub.
You got it. Unlock that back door because I'm squeezing in.
I can't believe no one's thought of this before.
You don't have to get out of your car. Royal Family Car Wash and drive-thru massage.
Royal Family Business.
Going on a go trip to South Africa was my first time out of the country.
My go trip to NOLA wrecked me in all the best ways.
I took my family on an adventure to Nicaragua.
My experience on a go trip to Nepal pulled me closer to the Holy Spirit.
I stepped out of my comfort zone and met God in a very real way.
I learned more about my kids who loved generously, climbed volcanoes, and weren't afraid to try new and exciting things.
I met my husband on that trip.
I got baptized in a swimming pool in Nepal.
I left all the self-hatred in the water. I will always live in the truth that I am beautiful.
GoMumbai forced me to reshape how I viewed the world.
Left me feeling more freedom, joy, and gratitude for life.
It was a gift to meet the child we sponsored.
I got to worship my heart out under the stars in South Africa.
I rented an off-road mountain bike and had an incredible encounter with God.
And I returned home, changed.
And we're back. Love the commercial breaks. Mark, you got a favorite?
I do. Airbnb, I had no idea that people struggled that much with just dropping one. I'm just shocked.
Well said. Well said. Well, hey, folks, we got a halftime show coming up. The first thing we need you to do is get on your feet.
Get ready.
And right now, let's give it up for your Crossroads Band. Come on.
Tonight, I just want to take you. I'm trying to do 24 karat magic in the air. Pick the toes, so play it. I look out.
We can hit it, run it, run it, run it. We can hit it, run it, run it, run it. Just like fire. Cause it's
Don't believe in kings, believe in the kingdom. Chisel me into stone, Fred, whistle me into song, yeah. Dying laughing with crib and singing something about one, yeah. Jesus, black life ain't matter. I know I talked to his daddy. Said, you the man of the house now. Look out for your family. He has ordered my steps, gave me a sword with a quest, and gave Donnie a trumpet in case I get shortness of breath. Don't be mad. Blessings keep falling in my lap.
Woo! Make some noise! I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, baby, when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine. Pocket, got that good soul in my feet, got that hot blood in my body, it drunk. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. On like the way we rock it, so don't stop. And another night when everything goes, nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When you move where you already know, so just imagine.
JT doesn't have anything on them. You guys can go ahead and take a seat.
Woo!
So historically, Super Bowl Sunday has been the least attended services all across the nation. And 16 years ago, we had this crazy idea to start the Super Bowl of preaching, and it's turned into one of the most attended weekends all year long. Yeah, that's something to cheer for. So if this is your first time experiencing this, I just want you to know that you are in the right place. Doesn't matter who you are or what you believe about God. Now, as a team, we're going to have a chance to be generous. If you're new around here, there's no pressure to give, but we know that when you do, we literally change the world. We don't hold on to all of our money and hoard it. We pour it into things like rescuing girls from sex slavery in India, or even creating spaces for our friends to learn about God in a language that they understand all across the nation. In fact, the reason why we got to start Crossroads Columbus was because of the generosity of people on this team. So I want to shout out to my city. Hey, Columbus, OH! That warms my heart. So we're gonna give now. You can do that by putting something in the bag that passes by or through crossroads.net/give. While we do that, let's take our last commercial break.
Affordable,
thoughtful,
delicious. Come on down to the Royal
Family. Donnie, some respect, please.
Oh, sorry.
Come on down to the Royal Family Funeral Home
and Deli.
We're so sorry for your loss.
Ease your grief with our famous corned beef.
Jeez.
Here's your sub. No pickles.
And Aunt Beulah.
Thank you so much.
We're here for you in your time of need.
Yeah, I like those other funeral guys. Bunch of jerks won't even make you a dang sandwich.
Royal Family Funeral Home.
And Deli.
Jewelries.
Royal Family Business.
They redefined impossible. They had each other's back when the going got tough. They defied expectations. They crafted history. They changed the way we think about family. They were crazy enough to believe they could change the world. You were made for greatness, but it's not a solo act. Find your group for this year's journey and change your life.
Well, welcome back to the start of our second half. Mark, tell us how to make this big place feel a little bit smaller.
The very best way is to get connected in relationship. And the best thing we've got going is starting in just a couple weeks. We've got groups all over this area. You can get in by just dialing in, getting online at crossroads.net/groups, and getting in a journey group. I know when I get into relationship, I build those contexts where people get a chance to know me, and they speak in, and I just grow way better with other people.
That's right. Well, hey, the second half is here. Tone's back in the game. We're going to kick off with Allie Patterson. Let's send it back down to the field.
Woo! Team Mingo, you will have possession of the Bible for the third quarter. Allie, please draw your random phrase. Your random phrase is Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins, Leroy. Crowd favorite.
Yeah. We'll
All right,
see
let's
how she
do
does.
This. Hey guys, I'm Allie, and
challenge flag
right
already.
Off the bat.
What?
Challenge flag.
That's a challenge flag. I know that.
I mean, I'm okay with chicks being on stage the Super Bowl. I am okay with
chicks.
That. But
here we go.
Oh no.
Thanks. Not with glittery shoes. No cheerleader shoes. If you're
Sparkly.
In the Super Bowl preaching.
Sparkly.
We're coming from the guy who has furry boots.
All right.
I throw my yellow flag on top of your red flag,
what?
Which now makes an orange flag, which means points are taken from this quarter.
Wow.
We miss you, brother. We miss you, Taylor.
Thank you.
That makes no sense.
The way you leave your mark is to define a win. Before you start to work hard, like we heard about from Paco, and before you need to stand strongly in your convictions, like we heard about from Chuck, you have to know what you're fighting for. If you want to leave your mark in the world, you have to define a win for your life, a good win, a win that is worth a fight. The Bible actually talks about the win that Jesus came to fight for and uses language for a fight. Listen to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That was the whole reason Jesus came, to destroy something. He came against an enemy. Jesus stepped into this world and he had a win. And his win was to destroy the enemy's work. That is a fight. Sometimes we need to remember that we have something in our life worth fighting for. Like, I'm 40. I live in the suburbs. I have four kids. I need to wake up and remember that I have some fight in me. I love to train for things physically. It just sort of brings that out of me. And lately, I've been doing a class that's kickboxing, and I like to do like jab, 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 kick. I love that because it just makes me remember that I've got some fight. Come on. Do you want to know what one of my wins is that I'll fight for? It's this. It is using everything about me to talk to you about Jesus in a way that might just make you want to know him for yourself. I will do anything for this win. Look at me. Look at this. What are we doing? But this is a win. This is a win. I will wear gold shoes for this win. I will insult our senior pastor for this win. We may do that any old day, but still, you know what I mean. I will set aside my dignity for this win. I have a friend that thinks that no thinking women ever like the Super Bowl weekend. I'll put that all aside, and I will come up here for that win, and God willing, I will fight for that win every day of my life. We need a win for our life that is worth a fight. I heard a story about a young woman out in Seattle. She was a runner, and it really touched my heart because I have run for years. I went through an era, I'll call it, where I used to train for marathons, and that's what she was doing out in Seattle not even a year ago. And she cut through a public park on her long run on a Sunday afternoon to use the restroom. So she was in a park, in a public restroom, and inside that restroom, a man attacked her. He was waiting in the stall next to her, and he came out. And he came from behind, and he began to attack her. And she was wearing a tracker. And I want you to look at the red lines. The red lines are what happened inside that restroom. It was tracking her run, and back and forth was her fight. And I want you to listen to how she defined her win. She stepped in to this situation, and she defined a win, which is what all of us have to do. She said, I kept thinking there was no way that I was going to let him rape me. And I was willing to die to stop it from happening. That was her win. And by her own words, she says, this win was not only worth a fight, it was worth my whole life on the line. I want you to listen to how she talks about that fight. She said this, I was trying to make him realize that he messed with the wrong girl. And that he is the one that should be afraid because I would fight to the death for this. She said she described fighting, quote, like a savage. And up and out of her mouth at one point during the fight, she says she heard herself yell, not today, mother. Yeah. Not today.
Yeah.
I've got daughters. Ladies, I know you're with me. If that's the win that you've got to play for, then those are the rules that you need to use. The reason you have to define a win for your life is because it means everything. It defines every rule that you play by. And your win will dictate what you do with your life. There are too many of us who are playing by the American playbook. We wake up every day. We don't know why we're doing what we're doing. We haven't defined a win for our life, or we're working under constraints and rules and all kinds of things that we don't need to play by. We need to play by the rules that are for our win, for our life. And the only one who can give those to us is Jesus. Jesus fought for his win like Kelly is her name, like Kelly fought for hers. Jesus aggressively redefined the rules of his playbook. He came and he actually broke the rules of even being God by showing up here on earth. And if you think he played by the rules when he was here, I want you to read your Bible again. He prayed for people he shouldn't pray for. He ate with people he shouldn't eat with. He talked when they wanted him to shut up. He was silent when they wanted him to say something. He was a guy who played by his own rules. And even when it took him to his death, he kept his eye on his win because it was you. You are his win. You are his win. The enemy he came to destroy is your enemy. And that enemy is the one who wants you to not think about your win, to play by rules that you don't need, and to give your life away to whatever seems like the next good American thing to pursue. I want you to leave a mark with your life. In order to do that, you're going to have to team up with Jesus because He is the one that knows your win. He knows the win that you were made for. And he wants to give you the rules to play by and the power to stand there for your whole life. So pick a good one. With him, pick a good win for your life. You need a win that is worth a fight because you have a God who says you were worth his.
Yeah. Very strong by Ellie.
Touchdown, Team Mingo.
Gets the point.
Team Mingo, you're awarded 7 points for a great message. However, you did not incorporate the random phrase, resulting in an end of... No do-overs. That's how the sports work. Says Wikipedia. Resulting in an end of third quarter score of Team Mingo 17, Team Tome 7. That's the end of the third quarter.
All right.
7?
You know, I got to tell you.
It's got to be 14.
You cannot let the glittery shoes fool you. Mingo knew what he was doing when he chose a teammate.
Gosh.
I'm actually very nervous to ask you if you have any observations, but I will anyway.
I thought Ellie crushed it. I was excited she was on Chuck's team. Brought the heat. Brought her teeth. Ellie Cat was happening. Well done, Ellie Patterson.
Come on now. Well, our fourth quarter is going to be Brian Tome. You know, he is a perennial crowd favorite around here. They don't call it the Tome Dome for nothing. Let's see what we might be expecting from Tome in the fourth quarter. Check this out.
If you pair up godly aggression, look up for a book, look on Google, nothing. Because godly is supposed to be opposite of aggression. No, true.
It's 100%.
It's all in the Bible. God right called, there. There's no Bible hero who's cautious.
That's exactly right.
None of them. Every last
Very
one
brave.
Of them. Aggressively.
Audacious.
Yes.
Audacious.
Yes.
They're like, they dare to try things when everyone else is like, no.
You know, this is like the greatest thing.
Stuff your pockets with cash.
I wouldn't say you're a tool.
Tool.
Did you just pet the goldfish?
No.
No.
Oh, come on.
Do you talk like this?
No, I do talk like this.
Why did my sixth sense remind you of Blink? That is smooth.
There's beer connoisseurs, and then there's beer sewers. I'm like a sewer.
So you guys, Brian brings a beer. It's actually a new show that we've made. It features Brian having a beer with famous celebrities. Season 2 launches today. You can see there he'll be having one with Solomon Wilcox. You can find it on YouTube. Just search for Brian Brings a Beer.
Very fun.
And with that, the final quarter.
Brian, you maintain possession of the Bible for the fourth quarter. Let's try to hurry this up. I have a shift at Foot Locker starting in a half hour.
No one doubts it.
Your random phrase is, the chocolate ice cream emoji is my favorite.
Yeah, I don't think it's ice cream. Just saying.
Have you ever heard why Jesus died on the cross? And why did Jesus die on the cross? I know you've only have had to have been to church like one time or vaguely heard about Christianity somewhere, shape, or form to know the answer. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross for our sins. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But why? Why? Yes, he did go to the cross. He spread open his arms. He took the pain and the punishment that you and I deserve for our rebelliousness. He took that so that we wouldn't have to pay that penalty ourselves and miss out with God forever. Yes, that's all true, but have you ever thought, why the cross? I mean, God didn't have to do it that way. There's any other number of ways that God could have handled your sin issues and my sin issues. Why that? I want us to consider that it was because of the fit, part of it at least was because of the physical display of passion. If you want to leave your mark, you will physically display your passion, the passion of Christ. That whole scene, dying on the cross, this showed God's passion for you, for me, his passion for truth, for you to be about leaving your mark. You've got to get physically engaged. You've got to show physical passion. Your beliefs won't do it. Your morality won't do it. Your aspirations won't do it. You've got to get physically different. Something has to change about your life. One of the more impactful books I've read over the last year is called Captain Class. It looks at the greatest sports teams of all time. And they tried to study, why are these teams the greatest? And they found the one characteristic, the only characteristic they all had in common
was they had a captain, an on-field captain, that the dominance started when he or she showed up, and it turned off like a light switch, boom, when they left. One of those teams highlighted as one of the best ever in any sport was the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s. Four out of 6 years, the Steelers won championships. I grew up in Pittsburgh at that time, and so I grew up watching this guy who was the captain, Jack Lambert. Now, if you were a Pittsburgh fan, and I don't mean just a fan, you had to be in Pittsburgh to know all this kind of stuff. You knew that Jack Lambert maybe wasn't as good as a guy who was drafted a few years after him by the name of Dirt Winston. Dirt Winston was great. Jack Lambert was there first, though, and Jack Lambert, no question, was the captain. This meant he would show his physical passion in ways that motivated the team. If he got his hands jammed between two face masks and he had a broken finger or stitches that needed to happen, when the trainers would come over, he would shove them off because he wanted the blood and he wanted to get on his uniform so he could physically show his team, team, this is what we do. This is what we do. I'm not stitching myself up and you don't stitch yourself up either. This is something where we expend ourselves. Maybe this is why Jesus expended himself on the cross. Maybe this is why the word excruciating, that you and I know excruciating, comes from the word crucifixion, which is the worst means of execution humankind has ever existed. And maybe God came to the world at exactly that moment and exactly that place because for exactly that physical passion he could show, it would rivet in our minds and change us forever. Sometimes Jesus would spit on the dirt and go down and kind of mess up his loogie with the dirt. And he would go and stick it on people's eyes. Here's one example of that, John 9:6. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with mud. It was just something about that physical thing that made the difference. When we do camps around here, we're really into them, man camp, woman camp, couples camp. Our very first camp was a man camp, and we were just kind of experimenting with this thing. We picked a strange time of the year. It ended up being 15 degrees, and it snowed overnight, and it was intense. And everybody who went there had physical challenge, and everybody who went there said, I wouldn't trade that for the world. In the morning, it was so cold, I was boiling my coffee, and the little canister I had, it was kind of bubbling over, and steam was happening, and unbeknownst to me, moisture was running down, and it was instantly freezing the jet boil to the little bench I was doing it on. So when it was over, I went to pull the thing to pour my coffee, and it wasn't coming, so I just kind of instinctively jerked it. When I did, I yanked it too hard, and this boiling water went all over my hand, second-degree burns. And I had to speak that morning, and people were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you were secondary birds. You had your hand, like, was this and that, and was pussy. And I mean, I didn't think that much of it. It wasn't that bad, but it was a physical thing that people saw, like, you're really committed to this. You're really into this. And yes, Jesus is really committed to you. That's why there's the cross. And yes, he knew that if you wanted to change the world, you had to take the instruction of the cross to heart. He says this before he's crucified, before his disciples understand that he is to die on a cross, he gives this teaching. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There are things that we have to lose. There are things that are real cutesy that need to drop out of our life. Even though the chocolate ice cream emoji is my favorite, it's cutesy and it needs to just drop out of my life.
Yeah, any wife with the emoji. Yeah. My word.
What's Jesus saying here? Jesus says, you've got to be willing at any moment to lose your life physically. Let me tell you something. You cannot think your way to leave your mark. Your thoughts will not cause you to leave your mark. You cannot pray your way to leave your mark. Your prayers will not leave a mark. You cannot moralize your way to leaving a mark. Have prayers. Use your mind. Have high morals. I'm telling you, until you get down in the dirt and the thing that you want to do, until you bleed a little bit, until you change your life a little bit, until we all do a little dying, there isn't a mark that's left behind. And Jesus says, pick up your cross. Don't hold so tightly to your life that you can't have an impact with your life. The life of impact is one of sacrifice, and that's not philosophical sacrifice, that is physical sacrifice. Make your mark. Have physical displays of passion, and your world will be different.
Yeah, tremendous comeback from the concussion kid.
Touchdown, Team Combs. Brian, you were awarded 7 points for a great message, in addition to 3 points for use of random phrase at the last minute. That results in an end-of-game score of Team Tome 17, Team Mingo 17. But this is sports, and there's no ties in sports, so I'm giving 1 point for potential concussion and rebound. Team Tome wins the game!
Wow!
Unbelievable!
A gift indeed.
He knows who signs his paycheck. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I think the ref is throwing a flag on himself.
Mark, you know, the cool thing about this is wherever you are, there are winners here today.
Yeah, last year we said we're going to do something crazy, and that is award someone a trip to this year's Super Bowl. You're going to have a chance to meet them right now. Let's take a look at the screen at the lucky winners from last year.
Hey, Crossroads. I'm Elliot, and this is Nikki and Dia.
And this guy was the big winner of last year's Super Bowl ticket giveaway.
We're so excited to be going up to Minnesota this weekend, doing a bucket list item that I've always dreamed of. Super bummed that our Steelers aren't in it. Sorry, Cincinnati fans. But we are looking forward to cheering on the Eagles and watching the Patriots go down.
Yeah. And we've heard Crossroads has something big planned for this year, so stay tuned.
Man, you know, it's amazing what a couple of Steelers jerseys will do to kill the vibe in a video.
It's overwhelming.
That's unbelievable.
The heck is going on?
Hey, do not take our word for it. Take out your phones right now because you've got a chance. We did it last year. We're going to do it again. We're going to send someone to the 2019 NFL Super Bowl. And what you got to do to enter is right now, text SB2019, SB as in Super Bowl 2019 to 313131. You've only got 2 minutes to do this, so we're asking you to enter right now. In fact, if you're new, if this is your first or second time, when you take that survey, we're going to enter you twice. But you've got to be honest, as Brian reminds you. If you're not, you'll go to hell.
But you do have to do it right this moment. If it's after 2 minutes, no entries will be accepted. So do it right now.
Mark, we got a lot of stuff to get. We got to get it to our sites. But first, I got to know, who are you picking for the big game?
My heart is dying for the Eagles, but I think it's the Patriots.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm not even choosing a score. I just want to hear what people do when I say, I'm going Eagles. Come on.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us, folks. We're going to send it to your sites.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the Super Bowl today. You know, you can join us every weekend just like you did today at crossroads.net/live. We'd love for you to be a part of every weekend that we have around here. So enjoy the Super Bowl. If you're rooting for the Patriots, I forgive you. But if you're with me and you want to see the Eagles fly, go Eagles. We'll see you guys next weekend.